This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Keeping the train rolling here on a Wednesday. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio. And last night, my wife and I decided because after Syracuse lost to Miami, which was ridiculous, I'm like, you know what? I want to watch this Saturday Night Live thing. Have you, Josh, have you seen the new SNL 50 stuff that's going on?
I've been seeing bits of it on social media, but never anything like, you know, the whole episodes or anything like that.
Okay, so there's all these documentaries. One of them's like, it's like 2.5 hours long, but most of it's about like the music. So turn it on. Oh my God, it was amazing. And I still like have a bunch left to watch. I'm thinking about halfway through at least. But wow, unbelievable. In the very beginning, I'm just letting everybody know, go watch the beginning, just how they put all these different, like it's a collective of music and together, and it's like being at a club and just the beat keeps going on. It's unbelievable and it's really cool. And it really brought me back to a cool time watching Saturday Night Live. Very cool. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. And there's a whole other bunch of documentaries and parts of this whole thing going on with SNL 50. Paul Hamilton joins me on the Western Hotline right now. Were you a Saturday Night Live guy? Have you been your whole life?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's the same thing you're watching. They had a 3-hour special on all the music.
Yes. That's the same one. I'm sure it is.
I saw it when it was on. Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
And then
I was thinking, some I'm going to fast forward through and everything, and I didn't. You know, I watched the whole thing.
It was great, and they go through all the different musical acts, how they started, what they meant, the different genres, like the impact that the musical acts had back in the time period in the 70s and the 80s. And then, of course, some of the funniest ones, the best parts were the skits, right, and the music that went with the skits. Mm-hmm. And how those were created, and Justin Timberlake, whoever it was, very, very cool. But yeah, I liked it. Have you been a guy that's like kind of like sat down and watched Saturday Night Live when you had a chance? And some of the actors over the years, did you lose touch with it over a certain time period? Was it been a big part of your life?
I've kind of lost touch with it now. I don't watch it all that often now, but yeah, that was a part of my life growing up. As I got a little older, you know. In high school, we weren't usually home on Saturday night, but if you could watch it, you did. And what I didn't realize listening to a lot of the musical acts is what a prestige thing it was to be asked to be on that as a musical guest. I knew it was like a big deal, but I didn't realize it was as big a deal as the top music acts thought it was to be asked to be on there.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I still got some to go on this. Very cool, though. Anyway, if you get a chance, check it out. There's a lot of SNL 50. The anniversary this season this year is going on. So there's a lot of the documentary stuff and about how a lot of this stuff was made. I see there's another one about auditions I need to get to. I really want to watch that as well. In the meantime, it's a good time to watch some of this stuff because there's not a lot of hockey on. But we do have some tonight. It's the Four Nations face-off. It begins tonight in Montreal at the Bell Center. It's going to be Canada against Sweden tonight. All right, Paul, I think the biggest question here from a lot of people and really from me is, what will this look like? Because you have these players in this sport who very much play for pride for their country. It's, I think, soccer and hockey are above any other sport, like that, and they're going to really want to win for their country when they put that sweater on. They're also in the middle of a season for their professional NHL team when many of them are trying to win a Stanley Cup. I'm just wondering how this looks, how intense it is, what it's going to look like tonight. What do you think?
I think it's going to be very intense. Now, the things that I've seen, you know, the Canada Cups and a lot of the things I've covered over the years are that iconic goal by Mario Lemieux in Hamilton in 1987 when he's playing a line with Gretzky. Yeah, Gretzky and Lemieux on the same line. Good luck. You know, and I've never been in a building that has gone off like that did when Lemieux scored that goal. You know, and Gretzky got the assist. I have never been in anything like that. It was just crazy what that was like. And then outside the arena, it was like, you know, the most wild World Series party, or the most wild Super Bowl or whatever. Fans don't go as wild as they used to, you know, after championships. It was just great hockey, but that was in August. It was before training camp. It wasn't during the season. Now, Mike Ramsey played, I think it might have been called Rendezvous, if I'm not mistaken. It was the NHL All-Stars, and he made that team. He was one of the top six defensemen chosen for that team, and it was like the best of three. So that was during the All-Star break. So, I think you're right. It does make it a little different than when you go to training camp early and do it in, you know, before the season starts, as opposed to, you know, doing it here during. But I think it's going to be great. I mean, Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby are on the same team. You know, it's just mind-blowing. And then you got Makar on defense, you know, for Team Canada. You know, Nate MacKinnon, Sam Reinhart, Mitch Marner. I mean, just it's crazy. I'm looking at the lineup. The only thing Canada doesn't have is goaltending. And it may kill them, because they definitely have the best team, I think, as far as forwards and defense. But they have, I think, probably the worst goaltending.
What about the United States? Where do you see they are strong, and where do you think they lack a little bit, if anywhere?
Well, the United States, I think, is strong, yes, without question. The thing with them is, you know, they do have much better goaltending, I think, without question. You know, you got Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, who is their captain. I mean, to have them on the same team down the middle is phenomenal. But I think the biggest thing that maybe could put them ahead of Canada is, you know, you got Connor Hellebuyck in goal. You basically have the best goaltender in the National Hockey League, you know, for Team USA, which I think, does that put them ahead of Canada? I think that's the question. You know, Team USA certainly can put a great hockey team on the ice, but I don't think they quite have the stars that Canada has. I mean, you have both Tkachuks, you have Matthews, you have a guy like Gensel who scores a lot of goals, but then, you know, and Larkin's a good player. But you also have guys like Nelson and Trocheck and JT Miller, and not that they're not good players on defense. You know, Slavin's a good defenseman. There's no question. But, you know, the defense that Team USA puts out can't compare to the defense that Team Canada does. But when you have Hellebuyck and Ottinger on goal, compared to what Canada has, which is Binnington of the St. Louis Blues, Aiden Hill has won a Stanley. They both have won Stanley Cups. I will give them that. But I would take Hellebuyck over either one of those guys any day.
Canada-Sweden tonight at 8 p.m. United States-Finland tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, it really gets real. Finland-Sweden at 1. United States and Canada play at 8 p.m. Saturday night. That's going to be really fun as they wrap up the first part all at the Bell Center in Montreal. Speaking of Sweden, obviously, that's where you see Rasmus Dahlin playing for the Buffalo Sabres. He'll be on a pretty stacked blue line, I think. Look at the defense corps for Sweden. Rasmus Andersson, Brodin, Dahlin, Ekholm. I mean, Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson. That might be the best blue line team.
Well, what I saw is that Dahlin on the third pair, whether that winds up being that way, I don't know, with Andersson. Karlsson, to me, is... He's a phenomenal offensive defenseman. Maybe not as much now. He's 34 years old as he used to be. And he is a god-awful defensive defenseman. Just awful. He's on their second pair with Ekholm. And I, as much as I don't think Dahlin has reached his potential, he's still very good in the National Hockey League as an all-star. I don't think Erik Karlsson can hold Dahlin's jockstrap as an overall defenseman. Just as an overall guy, I'll take Rasmus Dahlin defending over Karlsson any day of the week. I would take Rasmus Dahlin injured over Karlsson at defending. So it's interesting, and Dahlin is also not on either power play unit, but you know that kind of checks out because you know at a lot of the time this year, not all the time, but a lot of the time the Sabres power play struggled, especially last year, and he's been a big part of that. But he right now is not on Sweden's power play.
For Finland, Henry Jokiharju will be playing for the Buffalo Sabres. He was added as an injury replacement, but he's on the team. And then Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Is he going to be the main starter for this team? They also have Lankanen and Saros.
Saros is the starter. Yeah, he'll back up Saros, which is right. Even if Luukkonen was playing as well as he did last year, I think Saros is still the number one goaltender in Finland. Whether he gets a game or not, you know, being such a short tournament, I'm not sure that he will unless there's an injury. But just that's an honor for him because Finland's always been kind of a big thing for goaltenders. And for him to be able to make that team and be on that team, I think, is a good honor for him. The thing about Finland is there's not that many Finnish defensemen in the National Hockey League.
No.
And I think three of them had to get out because of injury, which put Jokiharju in there. So they're really hurting on the blue line as far as that goes. But, again, Saros can get hot. He's quite capable of getting hot. And when he is, he's tough to beat.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur hotline. Paul, what's been any sort of reaction of Sabres who didn't make it, like Tage Thompson specifically or anybody else?
He was very disappointed, and I don't blame him. I mean, when the team was picked, he had 15 goals. Cole Caulfield had 17. Neither one of them were picked for the team, which I thought, really? Come on. And I know you have to pick a team. You know, you can't just have goal scorers and that type of thing. But really, you're going to take Nelson and Trocheck over Tage Thompson and Caulfield? Come on. You know, I just those are the two that I just shook my head and said, come on, what are you guys doing? And but, you know, in Trocheck's case, Chris Drury is part of the management team that picked this team. He got Boldy from Minnesota, part of the management that picked this team, Team USA's GM. So Faber, he's Minnesota too, but Faber's a very good defenseman. I don't think that's a bad choice for defense. But when we're talking about, you know, a guy like Tage Thompson and Caulfield, and you don't take the top two goal scorers for Team USA, I just kind of shook my head. Now Matthews has been hurt for most of the year, so he's not up there in the top goal scorers because of injury. And of course, the Tkachuks and Eichel. Connor's got 30 goals. He's always disrespected. Nobody wants to talk about Connor, but he always, by the end, has scored goals. And I'll give you a quick example. I'm in a goal-scoring pool. Connor scores goals every single year. He was the 18th overall pick, and he's got 30. I mean, it's just like nobody wants this guy, but all he does is score goals. You know, and now he's going to play with Eichel and Tkachuk to start with, or at least he did in practice. And that's where he belongs. At least Team USA values him.
All right, Paul, let's turn our attention back to, you know, the games in the league. And the league trade deadline is March 7th. I mean, from your sense, are the Sabres in a mode to just say, look, we're not going to make it again, so we're going to sell off some parts here and see what we can do with some draft picks? Do you think there's a big move coming that they could still be shopping someone? Is it possible that they still think that they could climb back in this thing and look to add a piece?
No, but I'd be looking for the middle stat for Bo Byram trade, which happened around March time. It's always been, it's hard to make hockey trades at the trade deadline, but they've already been made. Some trades have already been made. That's what I think the Sabres, they don't need draft picks. They don't need any of that stuff. That I don't see there's any point in trading Zucker, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, or Greenway. Those are the types of players they need. They need more of guys like that, veteran guys who can play and can lead. They don't need to subtract them for draft picks. Kevin Adams was on our station saying he's already contacted the agents of Zucker to try to maybe get a deal done before the trade deadline. And I think that's the right thing to do. You know, get this guy signed to a two-year contract. I wouldn't give him too much more than that. I mean, he is getting up there in years. Mm-hmm. But, I think it's reasonable to maybe offer him a good two-year contract and keep him around, because I think, you know, he's been an excellent signing for the Sabres. Greenway, one of the best penalty killers in the NHL. He's one of the few physical forwards that you have. I have never seen a player on the Sabres that makes maybe Tuck. It's semi-similar, but Greenway that makes teams turn the puck over. He it's almost like he knows where the guy's going to go with the puck before they do, and it creates scoring opportunities for his line mates. So he would be another one that I would be trying to sign, not trade, at the trade deadline.
I'm taking a look at the UFAs here. It really is Greenway, Zucker. Who am I listening here? Yoki Haru. Dennis Gilbert.
I think he might be gone. He hasn't played a lot. He's been benched somewhat, and I don't think he'd be unhappy. He has not asked for a trade that I know of, at least. It has not come out publicly, but I don't think he would be too disappointed either if he moved on. I think the Sabres offering him a one-year contract kind of told him where he is in the organization. So that might be a deal that you could see for a draft pick or whatever at the trade deadline.
What about I had something in front of my mind injuries, Paul. Greenway, where he is and anybody else that we're monitoring here over this week.
He should be back for the first game against the Rangers. Lindy Ruff said, you know what, they put him on a program with the doctors and everything that targeted that game. He said if we really needed this game coming up, like let's say it was a playoff game or something like that, he could have played in Nashville probably, but they didn't want to go against the protocols that were being suggested there just to throw him into one game early. They said, let's keep doing with the program that they had decided to do. He's been going hard in practice, and then he should be ready for that first game coming back against the Rangers.
I mean, I don't mean to sound flippant when I say this, but don't you kind of need every game right now? And I get it. If you put him in there, the benefit is you get a hole the other 2 weeks. So I'm totally down with that. But what's the end game?
I think you have to be realistic. It's not like they're not trying to win. They are trying to win. And actually, they'd run 5 out of 7. It's not, but it's just, I think you have to be honest with yourself, too. You're not leapfrogging 8 teams and coming back from 12 points down while you are leapfrogging 8 teams. So is it wise to bring him back? And if there's any risk whatsoever, you know, if they were 4 points out, your point is well taken. Wait a minute. We need to get him in there as quickly as we can, because we need every point we can get right now. I think, being realistic there, I probably would have done the same thing if I were them.
Paul, what do you think about the situation in Boston? I know they're chanting fire Sweeney at TD Garden. They're kind of in this spot where they're trying to decide if they should be buyers or sellers. Where do you think they are in their kind of organizational build right now?
Yeah, that was a team when, the beginning of the year when we thought the Sabres would have a chance to make the playoffs that you kind of targeted as well. That's a team you can probably get past, because it just seems like, they lost Bergeron to retirement and, they still have some good players. McAvoy's a very good player. Marchand's a very good player. Both are going to be in this tournament. Swayman is capable of being a good goaltender. Hasn't been this year since he signed his contract, but he's capable of that. But you got other guys who've kind of stepped in, like a Geeky and others. So they're already kind of making that transition. But I don't think they're going to give up on the playoffs right now. So I don't know how much of a buyer they'll be, but also I they might just be a team that might be willing to stand pat unless something really comes their way that they like.
And then the other two I want to ask you about is the Sabres' next opponent, the Rangers. They come to town next Saturday. Next Saturday when the Sabres get back on the ice against the Rangers. That's a, what, 5:30 p.m. start? I think it's a weird time here. 5:30 p.m. faceoff on Saturday next week. But the Rangers, maybe a bit of a step back, maybe a bit of a disappointment. They make the trade for JT Miller. What do you think about the situation there and where they are right now?
Well, they obviously aren't packing it in by getting JT Miller, you know, the, to acquire that. So they're still going for it. They still, you know, Zibanejad has underperformed this year. Trocheck just is starting to play a little bit better for them. Shesterkin is out with an injury. He's been off and on. There have been times he's been himself. There are times, including against the Sabres, where he hasn't been himself. So I think that's hurt them too. And so, you know, they have guys, even Panarin, you know, he only has 23 goals, and I say only, but for him, that's not a lot. Chris Kreider only has 16 goals. But Chris Kreider is getting up there in age too, you know, and that's a guy that, you know, you look at it and when does it finally cut off? You know, when he's been a 30 goal scorer recently and had some of his better scoring years later in his career, but he's getting long in the tooth too. But I think they've told us by acquiring a 31-year-old JT Miller at $8 million that they're not giving up on it yet.
Paul Hamilton. All right, Paul. Well, enjoy the Four Nations face off, and then what? Are there restrictions on the? You know how they do the whole thing where, remember they had the off days a few weeks, like a month ago, and then the Blackhawks wait to fly at midnight or something to come to Buffalo. Is that the same thing that happens after this sort of thing?
No, you know what I mean? No, like, this is different. You,
how does this work?
This is just business as usual. There's no roster freeze.
Okay.
They're not coming out of the Christmas break. That was the Christmas break you were talking about.
That was that what it was, yeah.
Right. And the tournament will be over, too. I mean, the Sabres actually be practicing before the tournament. Their first practice is Tuesday, the 18th.
Okay.
And then they play on Saturday. But some of the guys, if you make it to the finals, they still won't be available to their teams yet. But teams at least can get players back and get them practicing again and that type of thing. But, no, they haven't frozen rosters or have any restrictions. It's, you know, you can practice, I think, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and Lindy Ruff will, and I'm sure other teams will, and they'll start getting ready for the rest of the season.
Good information. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Paul. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I got Sal to cook for me yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, it's really a Yana Capaccio creation, but I helped a little bit with some of the, you know, some of the things inside the potatoes. Did you like the potato soup she made?
I did. I liked it. There were some really good soups there. It's funny because, you know, I don't get to the station all that often, but when they said they were going to have a soup thing,
yeah,
I'm coming. I'm in.
I get it.
Soup and chili. I get it. And you had to take the little cups, though. You can't be filling up on one because we're judging, so you have to be able to taste them all. I believe a chicken wing soup was the winner. But there was some really good stuff there. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Christine and our account exec, the chicken wing soup she made was terrific. And Paul, I'm the same way as you, which is, you want me to come in? Tell me you're feeding me, and then I'll come in. Then I'll be at studio. I'll leave Studio Capaccio to go to Odyssey. Thanks a lot.
Well, I've lost a lot of weight lately, so I don't eat anywhere near as much as I used to. But and then I got a little tub of soup to take home, so I had it for dinner too.
Nice. You got it, buddy. All right. Have a great rest of your week.
Take care.
All right. You got it. Paul's appearance here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Relax Honda. Honda, relax. We got this. Okay, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, I've teased it. I've talked about it. I have in my hand list. Hear that paper? I want to unveil it. My 1-7 best 1, worst 7 NFL head coaching hires based on what the team actually needed. Doesn't mean they'll be the most successful or the least successful, but what did you need, and did you get what you needed? 1-7. We come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.